The old school bell tells us it's time for another class session of the Warren County Radio Bible School. Now take your seats and come to class. And the way to do that, if you're in the radio audience, is to get your Bible. We're going to be looking at the book of Jonah, particularly the latter part of chapter 3. And at the end of this lesson, I'm going to read to you that little short chapter of Jonah chapter 4, so we see how this account ends. Now, this school is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We begin each week with a Sunday morning Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m. and an evening Sunday worship at 6 p.m. We also have a Wednesday Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our services. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and as far as the Warren County Radio Bible School is concerned, I consider myself the superintendent. And I say that because I'm not actually the teacher. The teacher is an old preacher named E.A. Elam, who has long since gone to his reward. But before he died, and let's see, well, I got it, he died in 1929. But before he died, he wrote a number of Sunday school lessons, and we're going to be looking at the Sunday school lesson he wrote for March 5th, 1922, and then we'll be getting into the lesson he wrote for the next week on March 12th, 1922. Now, these old lessons are wonderful, and the Bible hasn't changed during all this time, so they're still good lessons, but as I pointed out at the last class, there were some historic references that sort of date these, and they're interesting too, really. He was talking in here about how the Ninevites expressed their grief by putting on sackcloth and putting ashes on their head. You know, people don't do that today. I don't see any ashes on people's head, or I don't see them dressing in sackcloth. Now, I know the old flour sacks used to be made into clothing during the Depression, and I guess that was pretty much what sackcloth was back in those days, the cloth they'd make for sacks they would use for some kind of clothing and take off their nice clothes. A lot of time today we express grief at funerals and such as that by wearing black, and so that is our custom. But here they were putting on sackcloth, and this little historic reference that I pointed out last week, I'll read it again, because really that's where we got at that last lesson. It had to do with locomotives. It says, hanging crapes upon the door and upon locomotives, leaving the flag at half-mast and putting on apparel of mourning are not sorrow. They are customs whose intention is to express respect and grief. Now, I want to continue reading from Elam's notes, beginning on page 71 of his Sunday school lessons for 1922 on the story of Jonah. God, the king, told the people that they needed to cry mightily unto God. Crying mightily unto God was an expression of dependence upon God. The Ninevites, although heathen, had learned of God, believed him, and repented. I want you to notice there, they learned, they believed, and they repented. That was the order. They didn't repent first, and then believe, and then learn. That's the way some people put it. But they learned, and they believed, and they repented. Sending Jonah to them shows God's great regard for them and his mercy toward them. He now regards all nations' desires and desires their salvation. And he sends the gospel to them and has promised Christ to them for an inheritance, not just to the Jews, but for all of the world. In Jonah chapter 3 and verse 9, we read that the king and the people believed in God's mercy. For they said, who knoweth whether God will not turn and repent, and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? For God to turn and repent was simply to stay the overthrow. God did not have to repent of anything that was wicked, but the evil he intended upon that city was something he could turn from. And so when man repented, God repented. And so in verse 10, God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. This is what they did. And Jesus says they repented, to turn from godly sorrow, to turn in godly sorrow from all sin. Sins of thoughts and words and deeds and secret sins and public sins is repentance. Repentance always produces fruit. It is fruit worthy of repentance. Some of this fruit is the effort to repair, so far as possible, all injury done to others. The Ninevites, upon their repentance, were saved from an immediate overthrow. The generation to which Jesus preached will be condemned in judgment because it refused to repent. Now, I'm going to inject something here. If that generation refused to repent, what about our generation? You know, there is a threatened overthrow. The end will come someday. God's judgment comes, and his patience endures, but not forever. And so we need to repent as well, don't we? Now, the last of this lesson is about Jonah's course, and it's in chapter 4, 1 through 11. It states that Jonah's anger at the mercy of God, his reason for fleeing first to Tarshish, God's reproof, and the story and lesson of the gourd vine are all found in chapter 4. Now, Elam did not go into chapter 4, but I want to read this chapter to you. It's not very long, and I think you'll enjoy hearing it read from the Bible. And since Elam was using the American Standard Version of 1901, I've got that same version before me, and I'll read it from the 1901 translation. And I want you to notice something about this. We often remember that in the story of Jonah that God prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, sometimes called a whale. And we don't have to classify the species fish or whale. That wasn't the point. It was a great sea creature that God prepared to swallow Jonah. But before God prepared the fish, he prepared a great wind. After he prepared the fish, we're going to see that God prepared a gourd. And after he prepared a gourd, he prepared a worm. And then after he prepared a worm, he prepared another wind. There's a lot of things that God has done in this book of Jonah, isn't it? Well, listen for some of that as we read the conclusion of this in chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed unto Jehovah and said, I pray thee, O Jehovah, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I hastened to flee into Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, and merciful, and slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Jehovah, take, I pray thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And Jehovah said, Dost thou well to be angry? Then Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shade until he might see what would become of the city. And Jehovah God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah that it might be a shade over his head to deliver him from his evil case. So Jonah was exceeding glad because of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass, when the sun arose, that God prepared a sultry east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, Dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. And Jehovah said, Thou hast had regard for the gourd, for which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I have regard for Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern their right hand from their left hand, and also much cattle? Now that's where the story ends. You know, it's not very complimentary of Jonah, isn't it? He was angry because God was not going to bring judgment upon the Ninevites. Now, I wonder how this is going to play out someday when we stand before God in judgment and God is going to ask, why did not you believe and repent and be baptized as I sent the preacher and as he preached to you? What are you going to say to that? Are you going to say, well, I just didn't like the preacher's attitude? Well, you know, you may not have, but that's not going to save you on the judgment day. Now, we preachers are human beings like everyone else, and sometimes we might have a bad attitude. But what you've really got to focus in on is this. Is he preaching the truth? And if he is, we're accountable to it. And you can tell whether it is or not if you have a Bible and you'll open it up and read it. And so pay attention to the preacher that preaches what the Bible says. And God might need to work on his attitude the way he worked on Jonah's. But our responsibility is not to point fingers at the preacher, but to take heed to the things he preached. Now, in this next lesson, and I think we're going to get into this in the next class, because our time is coming a little short. I might get to the text, but it's the lesson for March 12th, 1922, and the name of it, Amos Warns Israel. And then it says, Temperance Lesson. Temperance Lesson. Do you know what temperance is? Now, temperance is a Bible word. It's used a little different than it's used right here. Temperance has to do with self-controlled. And there was a time in this country where people were discouraged. There were great movements to discourage people from consuming alcoholic beverages. There was even a time of prohibition in the making and selling of alcoholic beverages. Now, it wasn't against the law to drink it, but it was against the law to manufacture it and to sell it. And that began, if I believe right, was in 1920 and continued to 1933. During the Great Depression, that ban was lifted. But this is 1922 when Edom is writing these lessons. And even with the legal restrictions on alcohol, there were people that were still consuming it and suffering the consequences. Now those legal restrictions have been lifted, but alcohol is still regulated, and it is still a problem. Temperance, when it comes to alcohol, has to do with controlling yourself when you're around alcohol. Now, sometimes for some people it might mean, well, just don't drink very much. But in the context of this lesson, and a lot of times in the context of temperance, it means don't drink it at all. You know, the book of Proverbs says at the last, it biteth like an adder. If you had a snake in your house, you'd want to get it out of your house. And that's what you want to do with the alcohol. Just don't have anything to do with it. It's going to hurt you. And so this is a temperance lesson. Now, I know you don't hear much of that today, but I know, too, those who have been terribly harmed, either directly or within their family, and have suffered heartache due to someone they know or love, or maybe even themselves, in their consumption of alcohol. And they are going to appreciate a preacher that will preach on temperance, like Elam's going to do in this lesson. His lesson is going to come from the book of Amos, chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. And we'll be looking at that the next time the class gathers together. We'll just begin with that lesson right there. This is all we're going to have time for this portion of the Warren County Radio Bible School. And I hope you're a good student. The class may now be dismissed.